You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and for subscribing. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil. We're switching things up a little bit since we did the mailbag last Friday with Rohan Nadkarni of Sports Illustrated. Really good, big, packed, full of questions type of mailbag. But we're moving our weekly picks and predictions show to today because we didn't do that last Friday like we usually do it. David, the last time we talked about a game was after the Magic loss that knocked the Heat out of the playoffs. But since then, the Heat have beaten the Mavericks, they've beaten the Knicks, and as of today are back in control of the 8th seed and a half game up on the Magic, but with a tough slate of games coming up. This is not quite the final stretch of the season, David, but it is the penultimate stretch. This is the second to final week of the regular season. How are you feeling about Miami's playoff chances?
Well, you know, not to be too hyperbolic, but, you know, every game counts. You know, that sounds somewhat cliche, but for Miami to have a realistic chance of making the playoffs, they need to give their best effort consistently, because otherwise, you know, teams like the Magic, Nets, and Pistons, you know, who are above the Heat at this point, they could all wind up winning out and eliminating Miami from the playoffs. So it comes down every
game. And they all own the tiebreakers too.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
That is absolutely an important factor. So
Brooklyn doesn't yet, but
there's one last game.
That'll come down to the last game of the season. But yeah.
How I feel about it, I've got to go with my gut instinct and also what I've been saying consistently all year long, that this is a playoff team despite their inconsistencies throughout the season. So I still feel like, despite the fact that I'm not optimistic about the last six games of the season as far as their overall record, I'm not optimistic necessarily about Brooklyn's chances or Orlando's chances. I think either one of those teams is likely to fall out of the playoff race. Charlotte is still mathematically in it, but I mean, they're traveling. As we're recording this, they're traveling tonight to Utah for a late game on a second night of a back-to-back after facing and being blown out by the Golden State Warriors. So the Hornets are all but done. So realistically, right now, it comes down to those four teams, the Pistons, Nets, Heat, and Magic, and whether or not the Heat might be able to advance, and either one of those teams could be on the way out, depending on, you know, Detroit's chances. Look, they're two games up right now as far as the win column is concerned, but you know, they have Blake Griffin's injury issues. They have other concerns as far as their schedules are concerned. So it's not a deadlock for any of those four teams. But I've got to go with Miami. I think they just have enough there where they can pull out something when they need to. It could come down to exactly what it was like during that 30-11 stretch when it was the last game of the season. Unfortunately, they wound up being on the outside looking in, you know, after having worked hard to get to that point. And I remember that being, I remember recording with you and talking about how demoralizing that was, because they had worked so hard to get to that point after the 11:30 start, and they had this incredible finish to the season. Goran Dragic played amazing. And then, you know,
didn't James Johnson have like a triple double against Charlotte or something?
He did.
And then that same last night, the Bulls,
right,
beat the Brooklyn Nets because Brooklyn rested all their starters.
Yeah. So we're I hope they have that in mind when they face the Nets.
Oh yeah.
You know, I know a lot of the guys on that roster are still on the roster now, so I think it should be something that's definitely a motivating factor.
Let me go into the predictions.
Yeah,
let me get into, like, because 538 does their playoff predictions, and we've brought these up a couple times throughout the season, but right now, as of Monday afternoon, they have the Pistons at a 99% chance of making the playoffs, which seems about right. They're probably getting in. The Brooklyn Nets are at an 86% chance. The Orlando Magic, who, if the playoffs started right now, would be out of the playoffs, the Orlando Magic have an 83% chance of making the playoffs.
Well, the reason why, because they take into consideration the point differential, right?
And their point differential, strength of schedule, road games, rest advantage, all of that sort of stuff goes into the mix. The Heat have a 28% chance. But again, if the playoffs started today, the Heat would be in it. A 28% chance. And now you look at their schedule and you start to get it, right? You get four of the final six games are against the top four teams in the Eastern Conference. A home and home with Boston. We'll talk about that in a little bit. They got to play Toronto this coming Sunday. And then they play Philadelphia in the second to last game of the season, which is the night before they play Brooklyn in what could probably end up as a wild card play-in game, and the Heat are going to be coming off the second night of a back-to-back going into that game. So you know, by the math, you kind of see, all right, well, it doesn't look great for Miami. Despite them winning 6 of their last 8 games going into this, they're playing well. The offense has struggled a little bit. There's concerns about injuries. The Heat will be without tonight against Boston. They'll be without Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson. Derek Jones Jr., last I checked, was questionable. Roddy Magruder's also out. Winslow, Richardson, and Magruder did not travel with the team. I guess the hope is that they're going to be available for Wednesday's game against Boston in Miami. So, you know, there's injury concerns for Miami, too, probably more so than any of these other teams. I mean, you mentioned, yeah, Blake Griffin's banged up, but he's at least playing for Detroit. And so I kind of get it, but I'm also at the same time, I'm kind of with you. I'm like, I kind of think they're going to get in still for some reason. I still think that they're going to make it.
That's you know, kind of strange to hear because you've been kind of you haven't been optimistic about their playoff chances throughout the season, but I guess there's enough there. Look, I'm looking at the Pistons schedule, and I could see why.
Quick difference between so you have been saying all season long, this is a playoff team, they're going to make the playoffs.
Correct.
And I appreciate your optimism and your stick-to-itiveness.
Yes.
But I have been saying all year long that this is not a playoff team that might make the playoffs anyway, and I'm standing with that. This is not a playoff team, but they might kind of fall backwards into it. And look, the team has come out. They said the goal is to go 6-0. Obviously, duh. But the goal is to go 6-0, and they are open about the fact that they want to get in for Dwayne Wade. That they don't want that April 10th game in Brooklyn to be Dwayne Wade's last game. They want him to go out. They want his last game to be in the playoffs, a playoff game. And so I think that's a big motivational thing for them, too. And I don't know, man. I just think that that's the kind of thing that you can't really measure. Like, obviously, Brooklyn has their motivation to make the playoffs. They want to build momentum going into free agency. That's a big deal for them. The Orlando Magic have a ton of motivation just because they've been trying to get to the playoffs since Dwight Howard left. The Detroit Pistons have a lot of motivation just from financial reasons to make the postseason because they can't sell out that arena, and I guess getting into the playoffs would help. And that was sort of the whole point of hiring Dwayne Casey and trading Blake Griffin. So you look at all, and then the Hornets, by the way, 538 gives them a 4% chance. It might as well be zero. They're not making it. But they're probably more motivated than anybody to try to make the playoffs because it might mean the difference between Kemba Walker staying or leaving. But they're basically out of it.
Yeah, unbelievable. I was looking, and I can't believe he's only actually entered the postseason twice, and I think he played a total of, 10 games?
He's so gone. He's so gone. And it sucks for the Hornets, but it's also the best thing for them. I wonder where he ends up, you know? The Lakers, I don't know.
Not to make this
into a whole Kemba Walker thing. But.
No, but I mean, I think we have to start dissuading our listeners now from the possibility of a sign-and-trade or anything along those lines.
No, I don't think that's happening. I mean, who knows? Pat Riley might... But, do we want Kemba Walker? You know what I mean? He doesn't fit the timeline of the young guys unless you're moving young guys in another deal. I wouldn't move any of the young guys for Kemba, but if you got Kemba and you were able to move the young guys for a rental on Anthony Davis, is Anthony Davis and Kemba Walker? I'm just hypothetically just
sure, sure.
Here.
And whoever's left enough? In the roster.
What even is that? You know, a 1-year rental for Anthony Davis and just, you know, getting locked into Kemba Walker's long-term viability? I don't know.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. Something to discuss during the offseason, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah.
So, I was looking at the schedules here. The Pistons have 6 games left. 2 of those games against Indiana, 1 against Oklahoma City, Charlotte, Memphis, and New York. So of those games, all of them are winnable, really.
Indiana's not playing well.
Yeah.
Memphis might be the hardest team out of that group.
Yeah, I was just saying that. Indiana's 3-7 over their last 10. They're kind of limping into the playoffs.
Oklahoma City, at the worst possible moment, OKC forgot how to play defense.
Right.
I think the number one defensive team all year long.
Did the Heat break them? Is that what it was?
I think that's what it was. I think you're right. I didn't even think about that.
As far as the Magic are concerned, they've got a pretty easy schedule, too. They've got Toronto, and then other than that, they have the Knicks, the Hawks, the Celtics at Boston, so that's a tough one. And then at Charlotte for the last game of the season. So of those 5 games, they could easily go 3-2. Then again, you know, Orlando isn't exactly the model of stability either. You know, we can't expect them to be...
Right.
You know,
but statistically, they've been one of the best teams in the league since January.
Defensively,
which is crazy.
Yes. Yeah, they have been very, very good and have just enough offense to win games. So, I mean, that counts for something.
And I think that's where we're at. You know, and did you have Brooklyn's in front of you? Did you want to go over them?
Yeah, Brooklyn, they've got 5 games left against 2 games against the Bucks, who are banged up. One game against Toronto, another at Indiana, then the last game of the season at Miami. So they could very easily go 5-0 too. So I mean, I could see
they could go 0-5. Yeah. Brooklyn at the end of games, like who knows what's going to happen? You know, like they
could
easily
a good game from D'Angelo Russell, and that's it. You know, that's all they got.
Yeah, so it comes down to those three, the Heat, the Magic, and the Nets, I think. I think the Nets have just enough of a cushion right now that they can... They're like, if you look at those three... Because the Pistons, I think, get in. So if you look at those three for the final two spots, the Nets have the biggest cushion out of all of them. They could withstand D'Angelo Russell like kind of throwing the ball away at the end of a game and losing. Like, they could withstand that. The Heat and the Magic cannot withstand something similar. And then, so according to these prediction database sets, blah, 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 they have the Magic having the edge over the Heat. But like you just kind of said, I don't trust the Magic. And for some reason, I just feel like the Heat get in. Like at some point, the institution of these teams, I feel like, kicks in. And and so I go with Miami. And so I think they'll be the eighth seed. I really do. And I think the Magic will be on the outside looking in.
It's tough. I mean, I don't know. I think these injuries are coming at a really bad time too for Miami.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, and a lot of that, yeah, and so let's talk about that because we gotta look ahead to this week's game. So home against Boston, and then Friday against Minnesota. That's coming up after the break. All right, time to make our weekly picks and predictions again. Home and home against Boston, starting tonight in Boston. Wednesday at home against Boston, and then Friday in Minnesota. But David, before we get to that, let's quickly review what we've done so far this year. We've been doing this stupid game all season long.
Wow.
A game that you and I made up on a whim right before the season started and just sort of kind of did it all year long. We've added on wrinkles. You know, we added on the jersey swap guessing because of listener suggestions and stuff like that. We'll get to the jersey swaps later on too. But as of now, with 2 weeks left in the season, I have a two week advantage over you.
Yeah, you're in the Detroit Pistons hot seat right now. I think you're pretty comfortable. So
who has more pressure on them? You or the Heat in these final 2 weeks? Because you have to win out.
I'm gonna go with Miami. I think there's a little bit more at stake here, but I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Look, I saw an argument on Twitter today. I'm curious about your feeling on this, and I wonder how our listeners feel as well because. The argument is, you know, I think it was Matt Moore of, you know, Action Network. Yeah, mm-hmm. Talking about the Denver Nuggets and the fact that they could lose a bunch of games over the last course of the season. I think they've got 5 games left and they can easily go 0-5 over that stretch. And if that's the case, despite the fact that this team was number one for a bulk of the regular season, they could wind up being as low as a 4 seed. And so his argument is that the season's too long, and then the counter argument to that is look at what excitement we're seeing in the Eastern Conference. I kind of tend to agree with the latter, obviously. I think we're starting to nitpick here as far as, you know, what we find, you know, advantageous or disadvantageous, you know, or fun or interesting. Look, is the regular season too long? I don't know. It's as long as it's got to be. I think it's longer now because of it feels longer maybe because of the breaks in between games and the things that Adam Silver has done to help players rest and heal and things of that sort. But by the same token, I mean, are we really going to cut it to 70 games? Does that really make that much of an advantage? Wouldn't we have the same arguments after 70 games that we did at 82? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think so. No, I think it's like the college football playoff. Like, all right, you expand it from 4 to 8 and all of a sudden, all right, well, now there's, you know, there's teams 9 and 10 that didn't get in, and people are upset about that. So it's sort of the same thing. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like this last week I've really had to make myself watch basketball games, you know, where I am kind of tired.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, maybe if you did cut off the regular season by a week and that meant, you know, instead of 82 games, it was 76 games or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe even that would be enough. I do think, you know, obviously the major reason people say that it's never going to happen is because of TV revenue and, more importantly, ticket sales. If you lose anywhere between 5 to 10 games of ticket sales, that's a lot of money. That's how most NBA teams subsist on, and because not every team is the Lakers or the Warriors, and they're just on TNT and ESPN every week. So
it's not just that too. It's people who work at parking lots and ushers and you know, concession employees. I mean, there's so many people that make so much money off of these regular season games. Even Orlando, you know, since I cover the Magic, or at least go to the Magic games, they missed one game this year because of the Mexico City thing. It's just, you know, I would feel robbed as a regular season ticket holder or as an employee whose kind of livelihood depends on this. You know, it's one game there. It's not good. You know, and a lot of people, right, unfortunately, wind up living paycheck to paycheck. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, and you wonder if there's a way that they could cut the season off and create some sort of wild card round between, like, you know, the team 6 through 10 or the 7th and 8th seed. You know, that would be in the playoffs, and then you just and then you give the top seed a bye week or something like that, and make it more of an incentive to chase that bye, to chase the top seed to get the bye, or something like that. I don't know, but that's a whole other topic. I don't mind the length of the regular season. It would be like the idea of back to backs is insane. Yeah. Like, I do think that we're going to get to a point like 10, 15, 20 years from now. You know how, like, now we look back and be like, I can't believe, like, 7-footers had to, like, fly commercial to their games. Yeah. Like, that seems nuts. Like, I think, like, you know, 5-10 years from now, we're gonna like, wait, you have to play 2 games in 2 nights? That's not like, I go to my local gym and play pickup for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
You're done.
I'm sore for 2 days, and I'm like, that shouldn't, like, how do you do that? And that's not, you know, that's not the NBA, you know. I'm not like dunking and stuff. Like, I just kind of stand around and wait for somebody to give me the ball so I can miss a 3-pointer.
Oh, you're like a chucker? Doing, are you a chucker?
I model my game after Klay Thompson, and that's in all seriousness. I come around, or Wayne Ellington for Heat fans. I like to come up from the baseline around a screen and catch and shoot.
What's your 3-point rate at?
Oh man, if I'm at like James Johnson levels.
Really? That's not bad. I mean, 30% of your threes? I mean, that's,
yeah, I would say I'm about 30%.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's realistic. I mean, I pick up guys. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know many people that shoot in 40s or 50s, that's for sure.
No, and most people just leave me open. So they're all like, in the NBA stats database, it would be like wide open attempts, like all of them.
Nice.
They're just like, not. We don't care about this guy. We're not worried about him.
Nice. Well, you make him pay with that long range shooting.
You got to make him pay. Exactly. I got sneaky athleticism. All right. So you've got to go. You got to win the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So it starts.
I'm not feeling any pressure, I'll be honest with you. Despite the odds here going against me, I'm not feeling much pressure.
All right, well, let's make our picks after this break. All right, David, time to make the picks. Monday, tonight, in Boston. The last time that these teams played, January 21st, the Heat lost 107-99. That was that game Kyrie Irving had 26 points, 10 assists and 8 steals. He had 8 steals in that game. It's also the game that Derrick Jones Jr. went off for 18 points and 9 rebounds. And so far the season series is at 1-1, and they get to even things up this week. So how do you see this one playing out? Or should I go first? How do we want to do this? I should go first, probably, because you're at the disadvantage.
Sure.
We do this every week.
Yeah, let's go for it.
The Kyrie thing is a real issue, especially considering that Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow aren't playing.
Yeah.
I don't know who guards him. I don't know who guards him. And so if you're the Heat, you almost hope for like the... I don't think the Heat can beat the Celtics tonight, but I think the Celtics can beat themselves.
That's
and
fair.
That's sort of what you're hoping for. And I don't think it happens. It sounds like Al Horford will be available for them. So I'm going to go with Boston getting the win here.
They're 27-12 at home. The record is, you know, reflective of the 18-20 away record. That's the problem there. So since they're going to be hosting Miami, they just lost right now. Not that that means anything. This is a team that we saw lose to Miami, then lose at Orlando the following night, etc. So they've had problems in the past. But to me, I feel like the injuries are going to pile up there, and I think just being at home, they're going to be a much better, more concentrated, more focused team, and I think they knock off Miami, unfortunately.
So then they play Wednesday versus the Celtics.
That's a tougher one to predict. Yeah, that's a tougher one to predict, because hopefully the players will start coming back from injury there.
That's right. I would imagine at least one of Winslow and Richardson come back. This Winslow thigh bruise situation has gone on way longer than I think anybody expected.
Or the Josh Hill situation. That came from out of nowhere.
came out of nowhere, but he's also, it's not expected to be the way the Miami Heat phrased it, season ending.
That's
which
great.
Which was basically just like 2 weeks.
That's but, really extreme, though. I mean, that's
yeah, yeah. So
at this point, yeah, you don't go season ending injury. I mean, that's not no joking matter there.
Would it be enough to get one of those guys back? The Heat coming off of a loss Monday in Boston, return home Miami, get one of Josh Richardson or Justice Winslow back. That's the guy that you play against Kyrie Irving. Would it be enough to get one of those guys back?
I think so, yes. I think so. I'm leaning towards a Miami win there because I think, as we've seen from this team at other points throughout the season, they kind of ratchet up their intensity when they have their backs against the wall. Yeah. And I think the reality starts to set in now. You know, if you lose that game at Boston, which they likely will, then you realize you don't have many opportunities left to screw this up. And so I think they find a way to pull out a win against a Boston team that can kind of take their foot off the gas a little bit if they win, tonight against Miami. Now, you know, in reality, so, Boston holding on to the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference with Indiana's struggles, they're going all out because they're playing for home court advantage in the playoffs.
They're really motivated. I think they have one more game against Indiana.
Yeah.
They do. And I think it's this week. I think it's when the Heat play Minnesota, I think. But, yeah. Also, a big last time Dwayne Wade's going to play in Boston tonight. And
good point.
It'll be his last game against the Celtics on Wednesday. You wonder if that has any motivational swing one way or the other. But in general, I do think that they end up splitting the series against the Celtics. So I've got a win on Wednesday, too. Friday at Minnesota. The last time these teams played, December 30th, was the only other time they played. The Heat lost 113-104. Karl Anthony Towns had one of the craziest stat lines of the season for any team, for any player, that night. 34 points, 18 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 blocks, and 3 steals. Dominated Miami. That was, of course, a game that Hassan Whiteside started. That won't be the case, more likely than not, barring any injury to Bam Adebayo. Bam should be starting against Towns. I think that's going to help, you know, even depending on what the Timberwolves do with that front line. Bam will obviously play against Towns. If they play Taj Gibson at the four, you know, you just hide Olynyk on Taj. It's not a big deal. So, yeah, I think Bam, again, could switch out there, limit some of that long-range shooting, just be a little bit more aggressive with Towns, even though he doesn't provide the height. Towns is more of a finesse guy. He wants to kind of start getting his rhythm on the perimeter and then eventually will like kind of start banging around in the low post. But he's been nothing short of all NBA levels, you know, since the turn of the new year. The Heat got him sort of like right as he was sort of figuring it out. Okay. So he's going to be a problem for Miami no matter what.
For sure.
But I'll go first here because I know you need to be different than me in order to keep your hopes alive here. I'm going to say the Heat, I don't know, actually.
How about this as a statistic that might change your mind? They're 24-13 at home, Minnesota is.
I think the Heat win this game.
You're putting me in a spot here.
Yeah, because I think that Towns has a night, but it's not going to be a night like he did in December. But he'll play well.
Between him and Bam. I wonder if it's a big brother, little brother kind of thing where there's no chance that you'll be able to. Maybe not.
I don't think they ever met.
They know each other, but
you've got to go a loss here. So can I mark you down for a loss and then you can tell me how you really feel? Because for at least to keep, you have to go loss here.
No,
you have no chance.
I'll accept a loss then. I'll accept a loss for the season. That's it. I'm tanking, I guess.
Are you tanking? You've been anti-tanking. Heat this entire season, we were like, you know what, screw it. You don't get a better pick if you tank this. It's not like you get the, like, it's not
I can't
like you
go get against
the draft
my heart.
Like,
I'll feel guilty if the Heat wind up losing the playoffs. If the Heat wind up missing on the playoffs because I predicted a loss to the Timberwolves, you know?
You're going to predict a win?
Yes.
You're going to forfeit this whole game. We have a week left after this. You're going to forfeit. Okay, whatever. I don't get it. I'm going to go with a loss. I'm not letting you do this. I switch my pick.
Okay. Wow, Wes. I thought you'd had a little bit more stick-to-itiveness than this.
Nope.
All right.
You're sorely mistaken. You
overrated me. A chucker and a flip-flopper. Look at you.
Yeah. So you actually think they're going to win this, though?
Miami, yes, I do.
Yeah, so do I.
I think so.
Let's do the jersey swaps. Boston. So the Heat, Dwayne Wade already gave it to
Terry Rozier. Okay, can we address that Emmanuel Mudiay controversy?
Oh, we should. Absolutely. Lay it out for our listeners who didn't know.
Well, you've probably seen the footage by now, and if you haven't, at the end of the game, everybody's milling around the Madison Square Garden. Obviously, Dwayne Wade's last game at the Mecca, as they call it. And then Emmanuel Mudiay kind of comes up to him, the starting guard for the Knicks. He starts patting Wade on his chest. Wade gives him the typical bro hug. And then you kind of hear Mudiay say something to the effect of, "I want that jersey, bro." And Wade kind of says, "Oh, I'm already giving it to somebody else." And we don't see who he gives it to. I didn't see him on the floor. I didn't know who he was giving it to. It might have been a fan. It could have been Spike Lee. It could have been anybody. But no jersey swap was covered on camera there. And Mudiay wound up being embarrassed. And I think a lot of people are blowing this up, maybe somewhat out of proportion. But that's why we're talking about it.
I really like Dwayne Wade.
Is there a Chinese connection for Mudiay there? Because, you know, obviously he played in China for the 1 year. Did he wear the Li-Nings? I mean, I don't know.
He should have gave the jersey to him.
You know, the thing is,
I don't know. Like, we don't know who he gave the jersey. Like, he might have given the jersey to somebody really important. We
don't
know if it happened or not.
In New York. Jerry Seinfeld.
But at this point, can you mail Emmanuel Mudiay? You think he gave it to Jerry Seinfeld?
No, I'm saying, I mean, I'm just trying to think of somebody who goes to
the Knicks. That'd be amazing. That would be my favorite swap of the year. That would be Kevin Herter for me. I think he should mail him a jersey and make it a Vice one and just do something nice for him. Do you think it's because he looks at Mudiay and he's like, "You're not worthy"? Is there any of that there?
No, I think Wade has, you know, I kind of got a chance to see this in Miami. Like, they put him in a lot of positions to, like, have to, you know, shake a lot of hands and be out there. You know, the Heat does. Like, even when I got a chance to talk with him in Miami, his time was very limited because he had to go do a tour with, you know, a season ticket holder. And that's the kind of pressure that they put on him, you know. And then New York, rather.
And at the end of every game, too, I mean, he does the whole thing. He goes to the locker room, showers, talks to media and everything. And there's people waiting for him outside the locker room after every home game. After every away game, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so whoever he was giving it to, he probably promised that jersey to them. And you know, Mudiay, I think the thing is, and I kind of figured this out with Terry Rozier when I talked to him, is that he kind of reached out well in advance and said, "Yo, I got to get that jersey when we play."
Mudiay didn't do his homework.
Exactly. Mudiay, in typical Mudiay-esque fashion, was waiting to the last second and was like, "Hey, I'm Emmanuel Mudiay, I get that jersey." And Dwayne Wade was like, not so fast.
Like, "Sorry, man. Too late. Yeah, and you look, like, the cameras caught that. How many times has Dwayne Wade had to do that throughout the year? Probably several. I know I talked to Buddy Hield in Sacramento. He asked Dwayne Wade after. The cameras didn't catch it, but he was like, and Dwayne Wade was like, "No, I already promised it to Frank Mason, that garden that nobody's ever heard of." So
you should have gone with Buddy Hield.
The leaning connection is ridiculous. That was my least favorite one. You just, whatever. Give him the shoe. He doesn't need the jersey. So who does get it? Because you mentioned Rozier. He got it the last time. Or he got it the first time. Marcus Morris got it the last time. Still no Kyrie Irving. Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris are probably the two more underwhelming players on the Celtics. Like, the only more boring player that Dwayne Wade could have given it to would be, like, Daniel Tice. So,
Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines would be pretty boring.
He's got to give it to Kyrie at Boston. Again, we see the kind of thing that he did with Golden State and Dallas.
Like, don't the Celtics fans hate him now?
Hate Kyrie?
Like, who's the guy that, like, don't you give it to, like, Jason Tatum?
Marcus Smart?
In Boston?
If you want to really show up, everybody, if you want to play to that Celtics crowd, you give it to Marcus.
Marcus, yeah.
Marcus Smart.
watching a lot of Celtics on League Pass.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm gonna call one. I think in Miami, Jalen Brown gets it. I think there's a healthy respect from Dwayne Wade. Jalen Brown does a lot with the NBA. He's like one of several vice presidents of the Players Union, whatever association. So I think Jalen Brown gets one of these. So I don't know, between everybody else, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward.
Nope.
Like,
No Horford, no Hayward. I don't see that anyway.
All right, so where does the other one go?
I'm going to go with Kyrie.
Okay, so we think Kyrie in Boston?
Yeah.
and we think I'm going Brown in Miami. Where are you?
I think Marcus Smart.
Okay.
I think Marcus Smart because, you know, his rationale has always been, I like the way he plays, or he plays the game the quote-unquote white way. So I think that makes a lot of difference.
I think Tatum gets it and Brown gets it. I don't think Kyrie gets a jersey.
Wow.
I don't think Kyrie believes in the concepts of jerseys. He's like, what even are these really?
Hasn't he done jersey swaps like himself? Like Kyrie Irving, hasn't he done? He did it with Justice. What are you talking about? He believes in the concept just fine.
That's true. Maybe it's a Duke thing.
Oof. You know, I could imagine a lot of poisoning of the well there from LeBron James saying, you know, that Kyrie kid, the kid.
Yeah, that's what, I don't see Kyrie getting one.
It's entirely possible. Again, if he really wants to suck up to that Celtics crowd, he'll give it to Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I don't think Dwayne wants to. I think he gives it to Jason Tatum. Actually, this would be the time to give it to Daniel Tice or something. I don't know. Just the hell of it. Friday at Minnesota. So last time they played, I don't think there was a jersey swap. I couldn't find any record of it, and I couldn't remember.
I don't think he played, yeah.
No, he did play. He had 21 points in that game.
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Dang. I'm trying to think. You know, teammate Luol Deng on the roster?
Ooh, I like that one. So does he, there's no guards or anybody that he's going to care about.
Jimmy Butler doesn't play there anymore, right?
That's right. He plays on Philadelphia still. Who knows? It could happen. Andrew Wiggins is not getting it.
No, he's not.
Maple Jordan.
Not quite.
Not quite Maple Jordan. Rocco? Robert Covington is there, but he's been injured. So
that, not after what happened in the playoffs last year. No, I don't think so.
That's true, too. Derrick Rose?
Oh. Well, he's shut down for the year, isn't he?
Is he?
Isn't he?
I haven't watched a Minnesota game in quite a while.
It's been some time, but I thought he was out for the year.
All right.
We're really not inspiring our listeners at this point.
We're not. Let me look at his game log here. I think the Luol Deng call is a really good one. And if not Deng, then it'll be Towns. Because Towns is really good.
Okay.
The last time Derrick Rose played was March 10th, so he has been shut down. So I'm going to go Luol Deng because I like that pick.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Luol Deng it is. All right, great. So that's it. So to recap really quick before we wrap up, I've got the Heat losing tonight in Boston. So do you. I've got the Heat winning in Miami against Boston. So do you. And we both think that they're going to beat Minnesota on Friday, but because you wanted to tank the season for some reason, I'm the one who steps up and tries to make things interesting for the last game of the year. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to let you tank. We're both going wins.
Wow. Wow, look at you. You are a flip-flopper. Unbelievable. How are we doing in the jersey swaps? Did we predict accurately last week? Because I'm trying to remember. I don't even think we predicted one for the Knicks, did we?
No, we didn't because we've...
Oh, we didn't we didn't do a jersey.
Yeah, okay. So we predicted Luka for the Dallas Mavericks game, and turned out Luka and Dragic swapped jerseys, which we should have saw coming.
So who did he give it
and to? Ended up giving it to Devin Harris.
That's right. Devin Harris.
And then against Orlando, nobody got it, right?
No.
So, yeah.
Okay.
There only one jersey swap probably happens with Boston.
Yeah, I mean, he's not under no obligation. Again, I think there has to be a connection there. Somebody has to reach out to him. So I'm curious to see how it works out.
Down to the wire. Thanks for listening. And remember that you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.